Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. You're listening to Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. Today is the second Sunday in the Advent season, and our theme for today focuses upon John the Baptist, a rather wide-looking Jewish prophet who lived at the time of Jesus. People heard him calling out to them, preaching about the need for repentance in preparation for the coming of God's kingdom. Let's begin, though, with a very lively song called Sun Goes Down from the album by David Jordan, Set the Mood, which actually gave me the idea for the title of my radio programme, New Day Dawning. I first heard this song, though, sung on TV at the Royal Variety Show at the London Palladium. It begins with words similar to those spoken by John the Baptist. Open your eyes, there's another day dawning. Children of the night, can't you hear them all calling?
Free your mind, 'cause tonight we're gonna break it down. Shake it, make it funky down. Get so high as the toxins in your body are the bass and the drums and the roar, roar, roar. We're out on time and dirty fine. If you lost your senses, we have mine. And lose yourself from the time you were waiting.
From this singer, David Jordan, we come to today's action, which takes place in and around the River Jordan. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah predicted that God would honour Galilee by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. That's in chapter 9 of Isaiah. He went on to say of the people who would be living there, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So, according to this ancient reading, a people without hope, who'd been wondering whether God had abandoned them because he hadn't spoken to them for years, were about to see the light, and this would all take place in the region of Galilee. And that's where Jesus began his ministry. Let's hear Light of the World sung by the African Children's Choir, made up of some of the neediest and most vulnerable children in their countries.
Light of
Now another one of Isaiah's prophecies, which appear in our Gospel reading for today from Luke. You'll soon hear what a great historian Luke was when you listen to the names of all the rulers and governors of the time that he names. This is chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, whose voice was crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord? Who was Isaiah referring to? Well, another prophet, Malachi, has an answer right at the very end of the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 5, where he says, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Jesus would later explain to his disciples that it was John the Baptist who was this Elijah. So John the Baptist was God's chosen instrument to go ahead of the Lord to prepare his way, as a courier, as a forerunner, to get the people ready to receive him. That's what couriers did in those days. Roads had to be made safe for his arrival, and people had to be aware of who was coming so that they would show them the proper reverence and make the appropriate response. And all dwelling places would have to be fit for a king to enter. People were drawn to John the Baptist and his words like moths to a flame. But as we will see next week, he was quick to point them away from himself to the one whose light was about to dawn. John told the people to get ready and prepare the way for the Lord, for he was coming soon.
Lord,
That was Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord by Michael Smith. That was sung with the Preston Baptist Choir and Orchestra. So who was John the Baptist? What was unusual about him? And why were people so eager to hear what he had to say? The first reason people were drawn to him lay perhaps in the mystery surrounding his birth. Immediately before Jesus was born, there was a tremendous amount of supernatural activity, and angels of God were appearing with messages from God to various people. And it all began when one angel appeared to a man called Zechariah, who'd been alone in the holiest part of the temple. It was his turn as a priest to make the offering of incense to God. According to Luke, an angel called Gabriel suddenly appeared to him and told him that his wife, who was barren and past her childbearing days, would have a son, whom they would call John. No strong drink must pass his mouth, the angel had said, and that right from his birth he would be full of the Holy Spirit. He would be a forerunner of the coming king and prophet, just like Elijah, and that he would bring many people back to God. Now Zechariah was literally struck dumb when he questioned the angel's message. And when he emerged from the temple unable to speak, there was no doubt in the people's minds that Zechariah had had some vision from God. And when his wife later gave birth to a son, and his speech was restored at his son's naming ceremony, the people were in awe of their baby. What will this child become? They all said. No doubt they kept a close eye on him as he grew into manhood. Here's a magnificent song called Benedictus. The Latin words of the song translated say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It's sung here by a Welsh choir, 160 strong, called Cor Glanethwy. You can hear their live TV audience showing their appreciation in the middle of their performance. It was so very moving. Benedictus is also the name given to the words of thanksgiving that Zechariah spoke by way of prophecy concerning his newborn son John. This is what he had to say about him. And you, my child, shall be the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Now, I'm just guessing that the second reason people were drawn to John the Baptist is because he was a bit of an oddity. Both his lifestyle and appearance seemed to them totally authentic as a prophet sent by God. Even today, when people experience someone whose faith is passionate and whose lifestyle is authentic and matches their message, they're attracted to them and they want to hear what they have to say. And this was the case with John the Baptist, who began preaching in the wilderness, wearing camel skin, eating a very sparse diet of locusts and wild honey. He was indeed a bit of a wild man, really, but to the people, he was everything a prophet should be. Bold, outspoken, genuine, passionate in his preaching. And he began to spread the news that the Messiah, their king, was coming at long last. He was well aware he'd been given a specific task to do for God, and he set out to fulfill his mission with great determination. He was a man set apart from others, a messenger of good news. Here's a beautiful song called Ma Navu, and its words in Hebrew translated have this to say: how lovely on the mountains are the feet of the messenger of good tidings, proclaiming peace, proclaiming good, proclaiming salvation, saying to Zion, your God reigns. The third reason that drew a crowd of people to John the Baptist was that the people then were absolutely desperate for good news. They were a nation of people who'd once had a colourful history, full of great spirit-filled kings and renowned prophets. Many of them promised that one day a king, a conqueror, would restore their fortunes. As was said before, those who lived in and around the Jordan had become very oppressed and downtrodden. For a corrupt puppet king, King Herod, whose strings were controlled by a brutal pagan force, the Romans, ruled them. They needed a saviour now more than ever. And so when John came from the wilderness to the Jordan, preaching that their king's arrival was imminent, they became excited. They were now hopeful of receiving their saviour and Messiah in their lifetime. Let's listen to Graham Kendrick's song, Make Way, Make Way.
Make way, make way,
make way, make way,
for the King of Kings,
for the King of Kings.
Make way, make way,
make way, make way,
for the King of Kings,
for the King of Kings.
Make way, make way, for Christ the King, King splendor arise.
Make way, make way,
John the Baptist now challenged the people to repent of their sins and be baptized in the Jordan River. Repent. Ooh, there's a phrase we've often heard or even seen on billboards. And it's a word that comes to some of us as quite a fearsome thing, a judgmental word, weird and a bit off-putting. But it's actually a very beautiful word. Repentance is a complete change of heart and mind that brings a person closer to God. It's a change of direction and about turn. Repentance is turning away from sin and receiving God's love and forgiveness. It's a healing path, one which will refresh us and bring us new life, one which will save us from sin and death, a fresh beginning. John offered baptism to those who had repented and wanted to be washed clean of all sin. It was a sign that they belonged to God from that moment. Repentance and baptism are all to do with new life and hope, and it's never too late to make that brand new start, no matter how old you are. Here's one of my songs called that, It's Never Too Late.
It's never too late to make a brand new start. It's never too late to unlock a stony heart. For in this world where life is short and time just rushes by, it's never too late to give God's love a try. It's never too late.
John the Baptist didn't draw attention to himself, but pointed away to the one who was to come and baptize people with fire rather than water. My thanks to all of you at home and in hospitals for listening to New Day Dawning, and I hope you'll tune in next week to hear more about John the Baptist and his message. I want to leave you with one last song sung by Red Mountain Music, which is O Come Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is a word which means God with us. We'll hear more about that next week. Bye for now.
Oh, come, oh, come.